we have a 15-minute service because Sally's is very important to get through. And we after coming back, we were in Mexico and then the Bahamas. I just want to give you a true or false questionnaire here, and you have to determine which one's true and which one's false. So the first one is, and I'm going to give you two, so don't answer until you hear the two. In the Yucatan Peninsula, they celebrate a Three Kings Festival. That's one question. Or the Mayans were the first people to start the hospitality industry. Which one do you think is true? One, at the Yucatan, they celebrate a Three Kings Festival, true or false, or the Mayans were the first people to start the hospitality industry. Which one? Which one's true? The first one? The first one's true. Then, now, the second one was actually made up while we were going up a Mayan temple. I saw the Mayans, and I said to the group, I'm like, I saw the temple, we're up the steps. I said, you know, the Mayans were the first people to start the hospitality industry. And they said, why did you say that? I said, well, it says my inn. So come to my inn. Doesn't that make sense? No. All right, so that one was false, but nonetheless, I know you love that joke. But actually, in the city where we're, have you ever heard of the Three Kings Festival? In the Spanish regions of the world, they have the Three Kings Festival. And in this church that we were in, this Catholic church, they had these three kings behind, these really nice oak cabinets, all enclosed in glass. And they're the three kings that came to Christ. Supposedly, that's what they say, the three kings that came to Christ when he was born. And they had this festival over these three kings. And they actually, as I never heard that before. I never heard that, the whole theology behind that, but that's what they do in Tizimin and a lot of the Yucatan Peninsula. They have this festival, and it's this big deal. But actually, the Mayans, before that, the Catholics kind of changed their thought process. The Mayans actually had a three-deity celebration for thousands of years, they think, before the time of the three kings. And the Mayans worshipped the rain god, the sun god, and then the agricultural god that brought these things to them, right? That's so then the Catholics changed that to, hey, let's worship the three kings. So that's kind of where that started. But this morning we're not here to talk about the three kings. We're not here to talk about my great jokes of the Mayans. And Bob was actually plan B. We had a plan B this morning in case my flight didn't make it back. And Bob was going to... So we had a plan Bob. That's what I called it, the plan Bob. Bob was going to give his testimony. He was going to be the first off giving his testimony. And then we were going to pray together, but we did make it back this morning. As we're going through doctrine, we wanted to step back and look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And step back even further, because I started doing a lot of reading this past week, and I've read about the Holy Spirit, we studied about the Holy Spirit. But before we go there, let me just pray that the Spirit will be with us. Father, come before you so many times this morning, and we just pray that your Spirit, Lord, the next couple weeks, as we look at what you've given us, the Holy Spirit that comes upon us, upon salvation, lives in us, Lord, we know, speaks to us because you're speaking to him, to the Spirit. Lord, speak to us on how best to reach people in our community. Speak to us to understand who we are as believers, what you want from us as believers, and minister to us, Lord, that we can glorify you. In the name of Christ. Amen. John, chapter 16, verses 5 through 50, we're going to be today. And many times, as we get into the church, and I've seen it with multiple churches, and this today where so much is going on within American churches, and we start to say, okay, let's look at the Holy Spirit, and right away, people get right into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Before we even start to look at the gifts of the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit, I wanted to come back and boil down what Jesus said of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit's job is, because we know that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit was here before Jesus came to earth. We know that he's part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Holy Spirit has been here. But Jesus gave specific instruction on what the Holy Spirit was going to be to the church. And the church, what I find many times, the churches today, we all step back and we look, and the church revolves around these gifts that the Spirit gives. But there's so much more there that from the Holy Spirit to us than the gifts that he did and the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to look at that. That's what we were looking at John this morning. And we might get through all of this message today. If not, we're going to be on the Holy Spirit a couple weeks here, just because it's such a huge part of our life, right? The Holy Spirit that's in us, that fills us, is a huge part of our life. So, I'm going to read it. 16, starting in verse 5. Now I, Jesus, am going to him, God, who sent me. Yet none of you ask, he's talking to the disciples, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me, to Jesus, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you, to us, to the disciples, to the apostles. All that belonged to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more, and then after a while, you will see me. Ending in verse 16. We're just going to stay in that little pocket of information, because that's a huge pocket of it, of what the Spirit does for us. In verse 7, it says that Jesus, it's good for him to go away. The disciples hung to his every movement, right? The disciples at this part of Scripture weren't apostles yet. They were disciples. Jesus is telling them, before they're even apostles, this is what the Spirit will do, and this is why I have to go. And then Christ says and begins to pull out and drop down of what the Spirit is coming for. When he comes, he's here to convict the world of guilt. Right? This is the crux. The counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. And this is all right in this verse. In regard to sin, he'll convict the world of guilt in regard of sin. He will convict the world in regard of righteousness. He will convict the world in judgment. What does that mean? I read these books. Oh, I pulled out my books from seminary, and you know all these thoughts and theories about the Spirit. And one thing I have kind of determined, Satan has used what the Spirit's job is as a division among churches. As churches, we shouldn't be fighting. We don't fight, but you know, disagree that you. Some people won't even talk to other denominations or whatever because of the difference of what they believe on the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us. The Holy Spirit has come to indwell us that Jesus can speak to the Spirit into our lives as we are filled with the Spirit. Amen to that? Because that's how we hear God, is through the Spirit. So Jesus, as he was here on earth, saying, I'm getting ready because this is what the Spirit is here for, to convict the world of sin. What's the greatest sin? So Jesus sent the Spirit. The Spirit's here to convict us of sin. Because man did not believe in sin. They did not believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior. So what's the greatest sin for humanity? That's what we think about, right? We think about the Ten Commandments. Is the greatest sin murder? Is the greatest sin sexual immorality that happens all around us all the time? Is the greatest sin whatever it may be? Name any sin out there. What's the greatest sin? The greatest sin that we see from Jesus talking about the Spirit is the rejection of salvation, is the rejection of Jesus Christ. The greatest sin, you can be the mass murderer, you can be a rapist, you can be totally immoral, but you can change through Jesus Christ, right? If you deny what the Spirit has said to us and reject Jesus' salvation, you're done. There's reject or deny. That's what Christ says. That's what the Spirit says. So the Spirit came to convict us of our guilt, to convict humanity of not believing in Christ as Savior. So that's number one. And, you know, when we were in Mexico, and this is one of the stories I was going to use. Man, I'm not even going to get to all these today because I'm almost done time. So I'll probably finish out with these couple stories. When we were in Mexico, I was sitting with a man when we were doing the eyeglass ministry, doing the glasses. And in Mexico, there's a lot of Catholic people, a lot of Catholicism that they have been taught and grew up in. And as I was talking to this man, you know, as we worked with the translators, there's two things that we use to turn the conversation to Christ while we're talking about glasses, right? How do you, you know, you talk about glasses, but now we're turning that conversation as possible to Jesus. And many of them knew who Jesus was because they were brought up in Catholicism. They understood Jesus Christ. And I asked the man, I said, an older man, his name was, I forget. But I was praying for him. It's on my my book, but I prayed for the man I prayed with. But anyhow, I said, what can I pray for you for? Do you know Jesus Christ, and what can I pray for you? What are some of your needs that you have prayed? He said, pray for my salvation. That's a typical standard Catholic prayer request, isn't it? So he was praying that for me to pray for his salvation, and I told him, I said, no. I said, my prayer is for you. You need to pray for salvation. You need to declare that you are a sinner. And he did. He said, yeah, I'm a sinner. But he never accepted Christ on his own. He had the church, the priests, the fathers praying for his salvation. The Spirit says that we are convicted of sin. And that man then understood. He said, I want to pray for salvation. And he prayed for salvation. That's the job of the Spirit. The Spirit convicts of sin. That's what we are in right now in our world, that the Spirit, one of his jobs, as Christ points out, is to pray that people will see and be convicted of their sin. And as we were then last week trying to vacation in Bahamas, which is great. Not going to lie, I'm nice swimming across the lagoon every morning with my glasses on. But anyhow, there was a man on the last couple of days. We were at the resort, and this guy came out, and he was one of those guys that wanted everyone to look at him. He came out, he had a wagon with a big speaker, and came out, and he was pushing his thing, and he was wearing this hat that said King. And he had this, and he's a big guy. You know, he's maybe a little bit smaller than me. Yeah, he was just a big guy, big strong guy. And he had this rope chain around his neck, and he would stand there by this water path, kind of doing, playing this music, and he wanted everyone to see him. I thought he was like a DJ at first, and I was like, just sitting there. He's like, I'm not talking. There's no way. He's all about himself. I'm not talking to that guy. So Jen and I got on this rapid river, and it was about an hour, and I said, okay, he's going to be gone. So when we get back from this rapid river flotation thing, well, there's the rest of my people in our family, because we went with our kids and my in-laws and stuff like that. There was my sister and my mother-in-law talking to this guy, and they're like, and we're getting out, and they're going, Jeff, come here. I'm like, I didn't want to talk to this guy. Like, everybody in the resort, I was talking to anybody. I didn't want to talk to this guy. But you know what? As I get there, it's like, okay, Lord, you wanted me to talk to this guy. And this guy, his name was David. He lives in Virginia. Anyhow, he was confused. But he thought that he was sinless. He thought that he didn't sin. He didn't understand who he's heard all sorts of doctrine from Christianity, from Muslims, from all sorts of world religions, and in his mind, his guilt and his conviction of sin was he did not sin, that he was above sin. And we had this conversation, and we prayed for him, and we left him go on his way, but we presented the gospel to him. We talked about the Lord. We talked about the Spirit. We talked about all sorts of stuff with this man. So I still pray for David now because I think he will come to Christ someday. He's searching. But exactly when I started reading this, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict this man, because that's what we as people need to come to a conviction of sin. Alright. I could keep going, but I know it's late now. So, we're going to pick up here next week on the righteousness and the judgment part of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our world today. I really want to nail down the Spirit. And for me, I even stepped back and said, you know, everything that I've heard and studied and learned about the Holy Spirit, I want to look at as a new, and I've been praying, Lord, I prayed all about this, actually the week before, that the Lord will show me and us as a church, because the power that is given from Christ filters through the Spirit. So I want to pray as a church that we as a church will look and listen, that the Spirit will speak to us, that the Spirit will give us direction how to best serve Him. And if we need to be convicted of sin, then we're convicted. If we need to be convicted of righteousness, then of the righteousness, and we'll get into how that unfolds even down to the judgment. That's my prayer for the church this week. So, I know we are running late, so let's just close in prayer and then we'll pick up next week. Lord, You are our Savior. We thank You that You went away. As You said, it's best for You to go away, which I know the disciples didn't understand at the time, but now that we're looking back, wow, we can understand. Because we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that actually is within us, Lord, that fills us. And Lord, I pray as a church that we will listen to what Your Spirit tells us that You want us to do individually, that You want us to do as a church. And sometimes those things might be weird, like if we stop to talk to somebody. But You, Lord, we know You are here and You've given the Spirit to convict us of guilt of sin. You're the comforter. Lord, help us to listen to what You are telling us through the Spirit. I pray for that. I pray for that for myself. I pray for that for the church. I pray for that for my family. I pray for that as a church family. I pray for that, Lord, and on any person that I've been praying, just so everybody knows, I've been praying for a mile radius around this church. I pray for those people that have a mile radius around this church, Lord, that might be seeking of who You are because they're being convicted. I pray for those people. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us a sense of the ability to listen where so many things now we can't listen because we're bombarded all the day with phones and TVs and everything else, internet, news. Lord, help us to listen to Your Spirit. Give us those opportunities to do that. Speak to us this week and the next couple weeks as we open and continue to look at who You are and what the Spirit is doing in our life. And I pray for that. In Your name we pray. Amen.